Graceville Highway Superintendent wishes to advertise for a full-time MEO position as there is a vacancy due to the resignation of Jason Oakley. So therefore, the Catskill Town Board hereby authorize the advertising of said position. Any questions or motion? That's what we did at a
second.
Motion by Patrick, second by Dawn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.
Hey, Paul. Geez, I'm only 2 minutes late.
Yeah, we just started.
The first resolution was the MEO position that we're going to advertise for the highway department.
Do you want to do the pledge?
Want to go?
No.
Next resolution that we have on will be whereas the highway superintendent wishes to change the employment status of Chad Zimmerick to full-time AGO effective on May 24th, 2021. So therefore, Catskill Town Board hereby authorizes the change in employment status of Chad Zimmerick to full-time AGO effective on the 24th.
Motion
by Dumont.
Second.
Second by the chair. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion is okay. Okay, here we go. This next few are probably going to do with the code office, whereas the code enforcement office will no longer be outsourced beginning June 1st, 2021, and whereas the town board wishes to hire Christine Julek as an administrative aide to the code office and code enforcement office, so thereby we, the Catskill Town Board, hereby approves the hire of Christine Julek, administrative aide to the code enforcement office, effective June 1, 2021, at a rate of pay of $18.66 per hour.
Motion.
Motion by Jared, seconded by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion's okay. Okay, same thing. Maybe not to be word for word, but whereas the code enforcement office is no longer the outsourced beginning on June 1, 2021, whereas the town board wishes to hire Fred Pop, part-time assistant code officer, so therefore we, the Catskill Town Board, hereby approves the hire of Fred Pop, part-time assistant code officer, effective June 1 at the rate of pay of $12.50 an hour. Motion.
Right, Paul. Is that minimum wage?
Yes, $12.50 is minimum wage. Who was going to second that? Do one second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Same thing, whereas the code enforcement office will no longer be outsourced beginning June 1, 2021, and whereas the town board wishes to hire Lenny Serio as part-time assistant code enforcement officer, so therefore we, the Catskill Town Board, hereby approves the hire of Lenny Serio as a part-time assistant code enforcement officer effective June 1, 2021 at the rate of pay of $25.
How many hours is he going to work?
It's going to be a flexible situation. He's going to take like the month of July off. He takes most of the winter off. So he's really going to be he's not going to work probably more than 16 to 20 hours when he's available. And again, I think he's into a situation where he'd rather be filling in for vacations and as needed more than he really wants to be. I mean, that could change. It would kind of be nice if we could keep him in the same role that he's in now. But
that would pay him $25 an hour.
How long have you worked for the town?
He's never worked for the town, so he's working for Sandhills Associates.
Yeah, I think they brought him on 2 or 3 years ago.
And he's retired out of New York City. He was a code officer down there for, I don't know the retirement status on that. It was a 20-year, 25, or 30-year career, but he's definitely done that down in New York City.
That's way out of our pay scale.
It's no different than when they do the winging for the highway. They get paid $25 an hour, so what's the difference?
There's a big difference. Those are part-time seasonal employees.
He's not being appointed as a part-time seasonal employee. Basically the same thing.
We're paying him more than the other two guys that work in the code office.
I think you got to look at when you have a part-time employee. You're not paying into all the other items like benefits, legacy, things like
that. We don't pay into that for Fred. We're paying him more than the cemetery.
Yeah, the director of the cemetery is actually getting hospitalization benefits, dental insurance, and all those other types of things.
He will be the highest paid town employee besides.
And if you go back to Christine's position as an example, we had those type of discussions about it. But even in the position that we just approved, when you really get down to, because those employees have a paid lunch, it's really at $19.90 an hour. You know, just on wage alone, not without the benefits. And again, he's almost on a, you know, as needed basis. I mean, it's, you know.
So
I can tell you this, if you'd rather not pay him, I would tell you pretty confidently, come July 1st, you might not have him.
Where'd the 25 come from?
Where'd the 25 come
from? I know Elliot's not paying him $25 an hour.
I don't know this. I don't know this. They're not. I can tell you.
I agree with Jared on this. It's we just paid somebody who's a skilled carpenter $25 an hour. And quite honestly, he should probably get a bit more than that. But I mean, that's somebody who's been working for 40 years as a skilled carpenter. It's a lot of money for a part-time employee, I think. And I understand about the health benefits and stuff, but it's also a lot of money for somebody who retired and had a pension, which you guys know is my problem. I mean, I think it's, I don't know.
I mean, it's on an hourly basis. It's not like he's coming in, he's not going to cost you, you know, $55,000 or $60,000. It's not like he's going to work 2,080 hours a year.
Right, that's why I said, I see it the same as what they're doing on Iowa for Lincoln. They're paying that $25 an hour. So make them a seasonal temporary employee, that makes you feel better. It's the same thing.
It's no different than what they're doing. I mean, it's our comparative, there's not a cookie cutter where everything looks the same. He happens to be certified in what he does. He's got a lot of experience. And even with us, you can look at the hourly rate, but if you hire somebody else that's never been in one of the buildings in our town, he knows where the fire extinguishers are, he knows what to look for when he goes out for those things. So if you hire somebody brand new that's never seen the inside of those buildings, that he's been doing those inspections.
See, I'd rather hire a real part-time employee that works 20 hours a week.
Well,
that is available 20 hours a week, that doesn't dictate to us when he is and isn't available.
I'll tell you this.
Because my friend being limited on hours.
I agree with you.
We need a real part-time employee that's here around.
I totally agree with you.
So he's taking July off.
That's
correct. We already know he's gone on
the public.
That's correct.
And what about the wintertime?
He normally, and I don't know exactly when he leaves, but is it right
he
after
leaves.
Christmas maybe or something? But
he leaves for the, he's a snowbird.
He's a snowbird, so he's definitely not going to be here until January, February, and probably March. And again, I think Jared's point is well taken. And Lenny will say the same thing, hire somebody. So, you know, so he's not going to be insulted if you tell him, why I need you as, you know, when you call me, if he picks up, he comes, if he doesn't, that's fine. If you don't want to pay him, he doesn't, I'll be honest with you, he's not concerned.
I'd rather appoint him as a per diem.
Almost like a consultant.
Right, that's like that. Same thing. Right, we can set his hours to max, and he's, this is the hour that I want you to work when I need you to call him in.
But really, we're appointing for now.
He's
on end date or finding.
We should have another resolution
for hiring another person.
Out from
and I was going to say, and I mean, we got busy.
It's not the end of the day. This is really what it is.
That's what this order. This guy's not going to be with us 2 years from now, most likely.
No, I just don't like the precedent that we set.
So what's the next? We already said it.
So what if we
already said it? We pay our highway employees. We've already set the precedent. So you can't say we're set the precedent. We already set the precedent.
That's a union contract.
I would offer many people.
It's also an incentive to get them out to plow.
And for the hospitalization, the legacy, but no benefits.
So we hire another part-time for 20 hours a week.
Or 6.
Does that guy, if he's certified, does he get $25 an hour?
You can advertise that job for whatever you think you can get.
Well, what I'm saying is we're paying one.
What's Matt making? 47 or 24?
I can tell you. I mean, it depends on what kind of a person want to be trained. He or she trained, what kind of experience they have. I mean, he's in the twilight of his career. Obviously, you're not going to get a master mechanic that's going to work as somebody in big paying as an apprentice. It's kind of that simple. And another thought that I would have, you got Fred, he's going to work, you know, when he asked how many hours he was going to work, but he's going to work 20 hours a week. That's all he's going to work. He's not going to work 21,
Well, you can't.
Or you can go 25 and tell them you want to work 10.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's a bargain, and nobody's arguing on the bargain side.
Well, that's a precedent, too. You're paying somebody below what you're paying everybody else.
He can't.
But I'm just saying. So,
it's the same thing.
So, if you put them both together, what's your average?
Oh, what's our base in our grade book? What's the pay scale for code office?
I have to go get the book.
What?
I mean, I understand what Paul's saying, but the big difference there is that the highway guys are there 4 months out of the year, maybe wingmen. This guy's going to be on the book for 8 months a year, double the amount of time. Possibly.
Absolutely. But I think, I mean, your point's well taken. I think if the board found the right person to fill in that 16 hours a week, he'll say, you know what, town Casco, I'll be there if you need me. I think right now, to be honest with you, I think he's very valuable because in about 2 weeks you're going to see how valuable he may be. Because
Fred is just as well.
Exactly, but he's only here.
Yeah.
20 hours a week. So if Fred's out there, I mean, we have a responsibility. Right now, if we don't hire him, he says what he's going in 4 weeks, we have an obligation to...
Well, he's gone in 4 weeks regardless right now, because July's right around the corner.
Correct.
So I think, right?
Right, and he only does fire inspections.
Right.
So hold on, we're going to pay a guy $25 an hour to do fire inspections?
Well...
Are there that many?
We don't even get that much for fire.
We don't know what we're... Yes. There's enough. There's enough to do. Yeah. Did anybody know how many we do?
Not enough. We're behind. That was one of our biggest points of issues with Elliot, was he actually hired another guy for a while to catch up on the fire inspection.
This, I'm going to make a motion.
Okay.
Second.
Any further, any discussion? Whoever discussed it? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those against?
Against.
Aye. Against.
Motion.
Was there any conversation with him about salary? Like, would we do it for less money?
I think the conversation is, Dale, find somebody else to do the job. I'm leaving on July 1st. But I'll be honest with you, I don't want to be responsible for the code office. When things back up, we got green people there.
Well, code part-time.
I mean, we got to go in an executive session. If you want to make them a counter offer, whatever, we can do that. But I think you can't leave it open ended. Because I don't know, and you know what, I don't know what he's making for Elliot, but with Elliot. But I can tell you this, if he's not making close to $25 an hour, Elliot's probably making $75 an hour.
Sure.
Well, Santos is a little bit kind.
Yeah. But that was, you know, that's, so in the reality, what you were really paying all along.
You know, I really don't have a problem with him or paying him that. It's the open-endedness of what we were doing. We will need him this month. Obviously, we won't need him in July because he's not going to be here. We have to hire somebody. We need him for a transition period for maybe August and September when we hire a new person to help with that transition. Yes, but are we going to need to keep him on the books for the entire year? I don't think so.
And if the transition
goes smooth,
right, and we can schedule. That's a big if. And we can still schedule the individual, meaning Lenny in this case, when we want to schedule him up on the schedule. When all of a sudden, Chris King, and I don't know when that is, but she's taking a week, if she wants 1 week off, and without pay, she's already got a vacation planned. Meaning Christine Julie.
I am, because she hasn't been accumulated.
She ain't going to have, she's going to have to take a week without pay. So that's another week that we're going to miss. And then after that, we should be good.
So is there like a calendar of when fire inspections are due?
No. It's all on the computer, and I think they have a list, but I don't know what that, again, I don't know.
Well, certain facilities are yearly, and other ones are...
Every 3 years.
You got restaurants, you got hotels, motels, you got apartment buildings. I think there's over 2 miles.
We charge $100 for a fire inspection.
And what's the $50? Isn't there...
It depends upon how many extra rooms there are.
Yeah, it's a scale, right?
Right, it's a scale.
We're going to start charging, you know, like the village for in our contract in any of these new laterals, we're going to pay 50. Right now, we're still in a, you know, that's something we got to look at down. You know, maybe we get a little more grace period, but, you know, we're going to be billed eventually $50 for every lateral inspection. We're giving out sewer permits for free as an encouragement to get involved.
That was for the first 5 years.
Yeah. Was it first five?
Yeah.
Okay.
Moving on.
No, I have one more question. Elliot works 8 hours a day, 5 days a week?
No. Elliot's usually here, but Elliot works a lot more than 40 hours a week. Because Lenny doesn't work 40 hours a week, nor does... The contract reads they got in everything going normally, we get 80 hours worth of code work, meaning Elliot and the two assistants. So if Fred does 20, that means if Lenny does 20, we're home free. And Elliot. But then again, they compensate for those vacation times, which even that doesn't even matter. Normal vacation and sick time is still inclusive in the contract. But to compensate, say, for the examples when he goes to Florida, then. So Elliot probably works a good 9 hours a day. And then, you know, he's not as much into the zoning and planning as he was, but, you know, he does do that. I think another consideration right off the bat when I mentioned that the rate of pay is going to go up for Christine is that she's in here at 7:30, so she doesn't get paid for a lunch. So we're losing 2.5 hours of clerical work June 1st because she's going to get a paid lunch. That we, you know, right now she doesn't. She works 8.5 hours. She's here at 7:30 in the morning till 4. So that's 2.5 hours of workload you lose.
But that's standard for all other employees. We all get
like
a paid
lunch.
That paid lunch is moved.
Yeah. So you know, but we're still losing work hours. Same thing with Elliot. He works his 8. With Matt, we're going to work 7.5. So now you got 5 hours or less labor that's going to happen in that code office before you be immediately on June 1st. Just so just to think about that a little bit. But and that's fine. I don't think that's a big issue, but it's a reality.
So. So for June, we have fire inspections, but we know for a fact in July we don't have any.
It has to be done yearly.
I think.
We had a restaurant. I know how it works, but yeah. I don't understand how. Like, it must have been planned that way. At some point, it must have been, well, we're going to just do it here to make sure that we have that whole month open, because there must not be anybody due for fire inspection in July.
Well, there could be. They're just not going to be done.
They just didn't know.
Oh, so it's not a big deal?
It's a big
deal. It's been
something happened. It could be a big deal.
It was a big deal out of Troy. Or
Troy, yeah.
Schenectady, I think it was, but it was a big deal. And I forgot my train of thought on that. Right, so he would go on and those big. How early it runs the shop is that everybody kind of stays in, you know, maybe in their lane. Like Lenny, he can do it all. I mean, and I see him. I mean, they go back and forth and they assist each other on certain projects and they ask questions. But I think Elliot's mostly deals with codes. Lenny is mostly fire inspections. And Fred does a lot of the building and going over plans.
Is Fred certified in both building inspection and code enforcement?
He is.
So really what we're looking for to replace Lenny is building inspector. That's just the first three classes to do fire inspections.
Right. But code, I think, especially...
Oh, big time, yeah.
Code, I think, is a little bit more important because we've already got... You got Fred up there, and with Matt, he is a builder, so he's probably going to be the best at that. If I was hiring somebody, I would look more on the code side, because, I mean, Matt's going to be a natural for the building side.
Right.
He, you know, he, but he doesn't know code. you know, I had that conversation with our town attorney today. You know, and he realizes bringing new people on board and things of that nature. That, you know, we're losing a vast amount of experience with Ellie because he knows the codes. That, you know, and it's something, you know, but when you bring somebody else in, they're not going to know that stuff like the back of their hand. And even with our seasoned veterans, they rely a lot on, you know, getting opinions from, you know, our town attorney, and that's just going to be more so.
But isn't the code written somewhere?
It's a book. It's a big
right.
book.
Right, so I don't know if you would have looked it up if I had to, you know what I mean?
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
But the thing is,
it's
interpretation.
It's like the law, right? You can interpret it one way, he can interpret it another way, he interprets it one way.
Well,
it's a lot of interpretations.
We can look for somebody that's certified in first three for building inspections to do code, or to do fire inspections. And then in September, so it'll be probably the end of October, beginning of November, we can send them to Columbia Green for that class and do the code part of things.
Right.
For the last three classes.
Right. I mean, there's no around us. I think we've got to hire somebody else. And ideally, you know what I mean, it would be nice if they were ready to jump in a little bit. Because, you know, that these things are mandated and they are important for the safety of our residents and our everything else. So.
Well, and also we can look into if other towns have part-timers that want to pick up more hours, they can work for us. So a lot of towns don't have full-time code officers.
Most of them.
So they work for two or three minutes.
I mean, we got a pretty big office even here right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're the biggest town in the county. Well, we got a decent amount.
We have a large amount of building.
I mean, you take the village out, I mean, I can't imagine if we had, you know, village residents on the house. Right. So, you know, that's, think about that. So. Ready to move on with that? Sort of saying.
So are we doing a motion to advertise to hire somebody, or
yeah,
we just gonna?
No, we need to. That's gonna go. We want to make a motion that we advertise to hire a part-time code officer.
Do we want code officer or building inspector to begin with? Because building inspector, they can go out and do fire inspections.
Buildings.
Something to code though.
Right.
But it's more classes.
But it's more classes.
I think we should just advertise for a part-time building/code officer.
Because I mean, I heard this from Elliot, they have like a code officer, they have
different positions.
They have different roles, and that's what they, so they hire two people, instead of hiring one, they hire multiple part-timers that have expertise. I mean, we're already past that, but I mean, that's something we could have possibly looked at. You know, but again, finding people.
All right, so building inspector/code enforcement.
Second point, Jared. Any further discussion?
How soon can this be posted?
Tomorrow.
No, because the paper has requirements for posting.
Yeah.
So maybe Saturday.
We can post
or Tuesday.
We
can put it on Facebook
Facebook.
Yeah.
When's our
website?
So I have a question for 2 weeks.
The next meeting is June 1st
in a week and.
Yeah.
Less than two weeks.
So
it's right after Memorial Day.
So do it for maybe 2 weeks and then
do it till June 2nd. And then we can canvas through the...
And then the 14th we can have suggestions.
Yep.
The second you want to go, we want to go a little longer.
Well, the second's 2 weeks from tonight. Let's
give it a few more days.
I mean, we go to the 4th that Friday.
Sorry.
Why not?
So applications accepted until June 4th?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that will give us a chance to go over and see what
we can do. Yeah, those weird ones together on meeting on the first day of the month.
Yeah.
So you're still good with what we're doing, right? They don't want to stay the step backwards, okay?
Hold on. Are you talking about the motion? You have a motion that failed.
Yeah, I know. We were saying that failed motion, correct?
I think there should be a conversation.
Right. We can talk. We're going to move on at this point. Next one we got is whereas the Robert Antonelli Senior Center has been closed due to COVID-19, and whereas the town board would like to reopen the center in the near future, so therefore we, the town board, approve advertising for a part-time activities director at the Robert C. Antonelli Senior Center.
That's
That was what, 30 hours a week or 20 hours?
I'm thinking about 20 there.
So we had two, yeah, we treated for me. Well, we had two for 20 hours. We had to call clerks, so they weren't activity directors.
Well, we can call a clerk too, though. I mean, that's, I mean, you know, slash clerk.
Because I don't think we have a pay scale for it. The clerk scale for
yes, you do.
We do for activities directors?
Yes.
What's the activity director? What's the activity kind of rating?
I thought he just said for cruise director.
So we just do one or we do two?
I think if we even do like a 4-hour, like a 9-to-1 or a 10-to-2,
5 days a week.
Yeah, something like that. I think, and that's just
so you have 11 hours at the senior center now.
Well, they were self-directed at the end, so that was leaving by 2 o'clock every day.
I know, but you barely all up in the back, but that's the point.
And that's
they don't have any way there. That's all they're doing.
And that's not going to come back. She's going to go there. The county. I had a little talk with Terry Ward. I don't know if they're going to cook there, but they're going to distribute meals there. That's the plan. Again, it's very tentative. It's depending on how they go. They're looking maybe like August 1st to have the seniors come back in and have meals there. But again, it's all very tentative. I don't want to necessarily say that's in stone. But as far as, you know, cooking soups and all that in the kitchen like they did before, I think it's more than just bringing food from Athens, repackage it, and put it back out on the street. You know, they got these nice little trays now. I guess they seal it with a special machine for cellophane when it's microwavable and things like that. So I think that's, and they're having a difficult time hiring too. I mean, their biggest issue is employees. Same thing. So
let's put it out. Let's get somebody in there, open it up, and if we find out that
we can make an adjustment
for more people, then we'll
it's in the budget.
Right. Yeah. We trimmed it back a little bit, but right from here out, that's true. It's in the budget. I mean, I don't know what the director, we budgeted for clerks around 16 and change-ish. I don't know if, you know, that activities director makes that considerably more on wage.
Well, you also have to make sure that you don't have, it should be the position it was before, not necessarily an activity director, because that's a civil service.
Even as a part-time. So maybe we should just make part-time clerk.
However, you probably had that position before when Michael was the
part-time.
Okay.
This amendment resolution to make that as a part-time clerk. And that's budgeted for around 16. It looks just as it works on that.
Yeah, well, 16 change.
That was in the budget, and we have
20 hours.
We kind of reviewed that budget, and we have that in there. And I didn't get a chance today to go through the surveys again, but when we calculated and tabulated all those surveys a year ago, you know, that's what the seniors were looking for, is that. And, Silver Linings is meeting on June 10th. You know, they want to really know where we're at, so we'll come down there and give them a talk. It got a lot easier just the other day with the masks, you know, so that really uncomplicated things considerably. And so I guess if you're vaccinated, no masking. If you're not, and I don't even know if we checked it, maybe it will be on the honor system.
Got it.
You can't ask.
It should be the honor system type of thing. But it does afford us to open up by Southern Lions yourselves. I mean, that's glad to hear it.
Make a motion. We
didn't do it. Second. Make a second. Motion by Patrick, second by Wall. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.
But while we're still on the senior center, I'd like for us to put more clear signs for no overnight parking, no unauthorized parking. That parking lot is full at night. There's
who's parking there?
The tenants.
People that it's the tenants and people that live on William Street, Main Street. I mean, full. I had a meeting there the other night. There wasn't an open spot.
The people that are near school.
But I think they have access because they all have little parks along.
So what we should do is talk to the owner of the school about issuing a permit.
So. How about the sign?
And then you don't need to have a lot after a couple of signs. Normal business hours.
Okay.
So we're not working. Email asking for.
I asked him for signs for the ballpark. He told me they didn't have a template for it.
Yeah. We had that conversation.
Really?
No parking sign. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's
overnight parking?
Yeah. It's clearly no unauthorized parking, no unauthorized vehicles.
But that's why
it's problematic when it snows everywhere. And again, we have events down there, and like you say,
yeah, if we're going to open it up, they're going to go there in the morning. They're not going to go
there. And I want to say, I want our seniors to be able
to. Well, that's why I think, one, that we got to be striking because you can't.
can't tell what the handicap spots are, the stripes are almost going on a lot.
So while we're on the senior center, you actually did call up an awning company in Hudson to...
Salisbury?
Are they still Salisbury? Salisbury. Yeah, so they're going
to... This is their busy season.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, they're going to come in and give us an estimate, and then we'll see where they are, and money-wise, if we got to get another estimate or not. So.
Okay. Probably should have a look at the ones at the ambulance while you're in. Or they just need to be cleaned, or really...
We got one chair up there. Anyway, let me just... I want to get this done right now.
But, would it be possible maybe to ask the owner of Irving School to issue his tenants a parking permit? So we can differentiate if we start towing cars out a lot at night, which ones are his tenants and which ones aren't?
I don't think you can do that, Jared. I don't think you can ask somebody to issue a parking permit for a private...
I think what we can give them is a memo.
Well,
they only have... I mean, we can send them saying, hey, please remember, your parking is only along the wall, not the rest of the...
Right. Tenants to park along
right.
the wall.
But I don't think we can say, can you please issue parking permits for your...
Most complexes have a permit. Like Sleepy Hollow, you have a little sticker on your bumper.
We can ask Casco if you do one there. I run the plates.
I think once we put the signage up, I think at that point it wouldn't be good just to give a memo to the...
And put a big sign up that says, unauthorized vehicles will be towed.
Yep.
Right. Because they do...
We have to pass a local law, is it?
I don't know.
To tow vehicles from our parking lot?
To tow vehicles, yeah.
Well,
I think so, because we'd have to get the village authorization to actually do that.
Do we need to send a form of motion for the road that we're going to have to put the signage up?
Not to put signage up, no. But for enforcement, you should probably check with code or the TA because it's a...
Yeah.
We own the parking lot, but I don't know if... Maybe just with signage, you can put tow at owner's expense.
I mean, we have a
local law for no parking on roads, but not in parking lots.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if we, so if we have to do the same.
I'm not sure. That's a leak. Yeah, I would. That's a yeah.
I think a good start is just get the signage up there, and
signage isn't going to do anything. First time you start towing cars, then everybody's just going to tow a car, and we won't park anymore. That's the only way you're going to get people to stop parking.
Unless the Casco PD goes around.
Take it to them. And then if we can't tow them, maybe we can set a high enough fee for the ticket.
Like in New York City?
Yeah. More than the $10 that's in the village.
Right.
So I think
exactly. We'll make the village rich.
I don't know if it was on the news last night or where I saw it. I think it was on the news. They were showing no parking, and then there was no parking signs. They don't even think of parking here. And it was actually up. Don't even think about it.
Next resolution we have is to, whereas the Casco Town Board obtained an easement and right of way over the lands of Elgin Realty LLC on August 31st, 2016, whereas the easement and right of way ran from Mill Road and Hamlet Panel over the land of Elgin Realty LLC to the proposed southern end of the swinging bridge over the county of Snow Creek, and whereas the lead agency to secure access to the proposed north end of the swinging bridge was unsuccessful, and whereas Town of Council has no continued interest in said easement and right away due to the said failure of said litigation and said easement and right away has no value to the Town of Council. Now therefore, be resolved, the Town of Council does hereby release said Elgin Realty LLC from the terms of the said easement and right away. And be further resolved, the Town Supervisor is authorized to execute any documents necessary to effectuate the said release.
So let's have a conversation about this.
Okay.
So I'm sure the reason that we had that in the first place is because the people in Campbell wanted the swinging bridge back. Am I right?
He granted it to help with the case, yes.
But the will was that they wanted the swinging bridge back.
Correct. So that's why he granted the easement to make them.
And for as long as that bridge was standing, people walked on it from one side to the other. And I know that the guy with the shenanigans up at the Pine Grove stopped all that. But I feel like this is just another way to not have people get into the creek. And the people that they're worried about getting into the creek don't go up there and get into the creek. That's where locals would go. Just saying. Then it really becomes I can, you can't. And that's not okay.
So you're saying
I can see so there's a bigger reason behind that. Well,
oh, sure, sure, it certainly is a bigger reason.
Yeah.
It is. So this easement is on the Mill Lane side, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who owns the 23A side? Is that where the
Marlboro.
Okay, and he gave us that because it was going to go back almost.
No,
he wouldn't
go back. Oh, I know, right, but that's what it was.
Yeah,
it was back.
Yeah, so they could go back before.
So they couldn't go back and forth. So I hear there might be another sliver of land down there. But anyway, I agree with what Duane's saying, but the truth of the matter is it's just a public access issue.
He gave it a favor for the bridge. I don't want to not give him this
land back.
I'm totally against that for whatever reason.
Right, because he gave it with a specific intent for the swimming bridge and not to have any other stuff going on.
Right. Now, if we want the case, and then he says he wants an easement.
Then we not.
Sure, but.
Right.
I don't think we want.
Her point is well taken, though.
Oh, absolutely. But
I agree. Paul's point is he bought that property without an easement out. He granted it in good faith to the town to help with the bridge.
Right. And that's a dead issue, so.
That's a dead issue.
So did he buy the property after the swimming bridge was down?
Yes.
I made the motion.
Motion by Paul.
Second.
Second by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.
Totally busted up.
It's all busted up. I actually thought it was resolved. But then somebody, I think maybe you want to come back and say how much is a new one or something. Somebody made a comment, which was a good comment.
Oh, it was you.
Yeah,
right.
It was a while. I thought it was fixed. So anyway,
I could take
that was $2,400. And I don't want to really say that, but it's a decent number. And that's for one. The procurement policy thing. So I talked to Dale.
Just for repairs of that pole.
I talked to Dale about it today, and Liz brought it to my attention. Thank you, Liz, for bringing that forward today. But anyway, we had a conversation. I said, if we put $2,400 in it, can we get another 5 to 10 years out of the unit? And it was some kind of variable technology on these motors that they thought were good, back in 2005 or something. So it's a 50. Usually, it's like a 20-year. Service at the units, and we're in the 15 area. And so he's saying if you can put the 2,400 in it, but I think we had motor problems with there last year as well. And I think because it's not efficient, I think somebody had the thing running 24/7 possibly and burned it out a little more for us. But anyway, that's one side of the building. And they need a crane to bring this thing up and the whole. And so that's the number on that. So, it's
how much is it?
It's 10.
Could we ask for a quote on how much to put the wall units in the building?
The A-frames or whatever they call them?
Oh,
The splits.
They're about $5,000 a piece.
A piece?
Yeah. They are.
They're expensive.
Well,
this is going to heat too. This is our heat too.
Yeah, those splits.
We're not talking about this heat and air.
The splits do everything.
The
splits do the same thing.
Not to that level, because they're more like heat pumps, aren't they?
It's a heat pump, but some of them rate below 30 degrees.
But on a 0-degree day, if you have a cold spot, you're in trouble.
You want your oil still?
So. I might get one.
You do?
I mean, they are about 5,000, but I think you see, here we got the dumps all over the place. I think those are the split frames.
There's a lot in there.
We don't, but when they came to fit the 300 on my unit,
Jared brought up.
The guy with IEM, you should just get the split units because that's.
Can we look at the project and see if we can use that bond loan for it?
The bond that we were going to use for the window, the back, the back. Yeah, you have to.
I would be able to, but.
I forget the number. I just checked before we had the meeting. I think, again, we're going to have other expenses, but our building type for this town hall, we budgeted like a 25.
Well, no, we still have the remainder.
We have the big bond.
Right.
But we're going to spend every penny of that.
We need
the back.
I mean, we need to. I think that's our next big project is really.
Yeah, so that's what it's for, that there.
And
this front needs to get painted, which
we're right. And we got 30, like I said, we did put a contingency in. My hope would be, again, but I don't know what the requirements are in stimulus money. I mean, buildings are an infrastructure.
Well, I also think we should probably get multiple quotes. I think we should get multiple quotes.
So, I mean, I think we can call around. We've got different vendors around here. I did check the paperwork at the senior center back then. I mean, Family Dance did that work. Our senior center room was put in. So, I think we'll get, at least two or three more quotes. And I think the big question, depending on what the quotes come in at, the other side isn't that much better. Mm-hmm. And he said, who's that crane? I mean, cranes are expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, if you get the second one in for $8, should we really say maybe we should try to do the whole thing if we get a,
we should price it. You're there, you might as well do them.
I mean, I think that's something. I mean, I think we should price one and price
two. Efficiency alone, we should save.
And he was saying, he could only right now, can only find one of those. So, they're not necessarily.
Like everything.
Exactly.
Nobody's working, so.
I can find one, and it's 4 hours away, basically. So I think
well, if we're going to replace both of them, we may go with a different brand.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't even think it's brand.
It's not.
I mean, the only thing that he's got to expect is a 5 times, so that kind of helps a little bit on what the sizing would be as far as the AC.
But if these are being... If we're to the point where HVAC is saying that these aren't really being used anymore, maybe we should start looking into doing something that's like the new thing to do.
How many offices does it cool up here?
It cools the end.
I know, but how many
one side.
Offices?
So all the code, planning, ambulance, supervisor.
So five?
And part of the hallway.
It does stay.
The other one is, and then the other side is Audrey, the two conference rooms.
I can tell you it's always 57
degrees. Kirsten.
Yeah, so it costs you probably $30,000 to do the mini splits.
So it's up to
you. I mean, price it out both ways. Price it out with mini splits and price it out with the unit on the roof. What's the difference?
I'm just saying.
The big problem with the mini splits is getting them into the offices. There's going to be a lot of.
Right.
No, it's one little hole you drill through the wall.
Right, but they can't drill through the wall if they drill through the ceiling.
Right, because here we don't, because we're right up against their building.
And we won't be able to bring them down.
Right, but you can put them through the back, and then you come up through the
right,
ceiling.
They run along the lines. Oh, I know.
You come up through the
back. I know. You run into your wall, come through the back wall.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Come up the back wall, and just run it up in the attic. And
I only asked because when I came to put Freon in my air unit last year, he said, you guys are really, this is prehistoric, you need to get this, and...
I agree. For a house, they're the best thing. But for a good building like this, I think it's going to cost way more than what.
Oh
yeah. I mean, our building's only 6 years old.
I mean, if you're going to do it that way, I would need one in my office. You need, then you.
But they
have
multiple heads.
Yeah.
So they made it with multiple heads, right? So you buy one unit, it'd probably do 3 offices.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of airflow in those offices.
Price of it?
Right.
So
what did you? How do you heat your bathroom?
My what?
Your bathroom.
A little electric.
I was going to say, because that was my big thing, is when they were saying where they were going to put the splits, and I was like, well, how do I heat my bathroom?
Keep the door open.
They're like, oh, you have to install electric heater. I'm like, then why would I take one out of all my...
They never put a return. They never put a return in the bathroom anyway. You don't want to change that.
It doesn't bother me. My wife just complains that it's cold. She's got a little electric heater.
paint set like the motor, brackets, wheels, housings have to be ordered directly from the factory, such like that. So I mean that whole mechanism is kind of shot. So the effort building. So we'll throw out a couple more prices and see.
Some of the bigger ones have to be crane too. Like Chris Foley Brothers and stuff.
Right. Big company.
We can do it. I got a friend of mine's got a crane.
I've been using my furnace in 3 years.
So the Delaware thing, I felt, yeah. I mean, everybody would rather waited to have Travis come down for the work order. So essentially, I think it's,
yeah.
He could make it, and I did send everybody, you know, so just take a look at it. Again, we do, I think it's important. So we're doing that on our June meeting. We'll put him on the agenda for that, because we got change orders for the Jefferson sewer system. Okay, so where are we at? So,
New York Bridge.
Yep. New York Bridge. We need a motion to
motion.
Second.
Put the supervisor to sign.
Set sign of it into the contracts or the applications for New York Bridge, which is the first. I don't know if the sequence is going to be great, but we got 3 applications for culvert replacement. Mm-hmm. One on Game Farm Road, one on Pennsylvania, and then
Danville.
So.
Finally, yeah.
Well, don't.
Yeah.
You gotta put the fingers crossed, and hopefully one of those cracks. I mean, we can get all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
The only thing we have,
one person allowed in the county applying for this, because they've got so many more chips that they don't have time to do anything else.
Right. That's good. Less competition is more and better for us, right? I think that's what happened on that CARES Act 3. I think people got. All right, so back in Pat Esposito, the owner of the old Catskill Glass, and she did contact me a year ago, and she said, hey, what's going on with it? But she's interested in planting trees or getting a group together, and I asked her if she would be interested in being part of that group, and she said she would. So I don't know if we really want to go there. I mean, some people have a thought maybe that we don't want a lot of trees in there because then it's more maintenance, but we are cutting down a lot.
Dangerous trees in there right now.
Is this in the cemetery?
In the cemetery. Okay. And we did 30 through the village and things of that nature. We did, I think, 30 or close to 40 stumps. So there was a lot of, and just the blight, and they're just aging out. I was talking to the fellow from Central Hudson. You know, everything has a lifespan. And, I mean, we got a blue spruce, and I can tell you probably another 10 or 15 years ago. Unfortunately,
Cornell, I think we should. Cornell Co-op would probably tell us the best trees to plant there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, we have, you know, Central Hudson, they have it on their webpage, and I gave you a couple of pointers. And Central Hudson is one of the help. I mean, we want to handle it as our group, or do we want to really have like such a like Pat?
That's what we agree with. The community group planting trees is out there. Then.
Right.
And I agree with that on the plan, but I think we should review what they're planting and where they're planting and how they're
doing. Oh, the ultimate say. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, because I already made that comment, and I after seeing how bucket trucks, I went to Saratoga and they're like, you know, this and that. But they have plantings, but they're not planting in the grave site itself.
Yeah.
No,
you got to move out the perimeter,
right.
So it is a little shade for the walkers and visitors, and at the same time when they become diseased, we can get to them.
Yes, so
I
think, and the roots cause them.
And
they have all kinds of problems.
Right. So, I mean, on the perimeter, so it's a good idea. I can ask her to grab a few people unless we want to try to get a few other people that we know that, you know, to get involved with it. And we can look at doing it those are suggestions they can come back with. You know, do we want to really pay for trees, or do we want to do like in the memory of type of thing and say, hey, do you want to put a tree in this section and come up with a price or very long
deals?
We can leave it up to them, see what they come up with.
Yeah,
so
take them off on the opener.
Maybe reach out to Cultivate Casket too.
Because
they've always wanted to do more than stuff than just in the village.
Right. So if she can get her packed, and maybe I can make a call or have her make a phone call, and they can get a group together.
Yeah, reach out to Shelly or Bob Logan. Shelly Bolton.
Who's the other person?
Bob Logan.
I think he knows these guys. And I think Robin Smith.
Teresa's involved in.
Yeah, you know, that's another good reason. Yeah. She's a Cornell Master Gardener, our mom.
Awesome.
So she would be, that's a great piece of right here. That would be really
fun.
Nice, came in already.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I love the garden.
Yeah.
It's kind of
Coxsackie.
Oh, that's past
the Baltimore one.
Yeah, if you're going to the Vax.
So we'll get that together. I think it's a good idea. And if we have the purchase trees, then we have the purchase trees that we can.
Well, that's what the perpetual funds for.
We got that. We use that, or we got stuff over, and then there's a company local relation that we might be able to buy a discount from. This one's. She said she had another idea, which I thought was good too. Like the book drop, or like these little book, really long, where you exchange your books, like at my Methodist church. So she goes, you know, we live in Jefferson, and she would like to do that. I think she didn't mention his name, but I think it's Pete McLaren, is a neighbor. He's got does some handy work, so she's going to pay or having to donate a box. So she thought about maybe putting it in that little triangle at Wild Wing Park, and then she said maybe it's too snow by flagpole.
What about in front of the Red Schoolhouse?
No, that's what I was thinking.
That's where we ended up. And then she said, how about the Red Schoolhouse or by the cemetery? I said, you know, if you're looking at books that people are reading, it would be appropriate at the Red Schoolhouse. So,
we have an authorities.
Right. So.
One post office.
Yeah, they're all over. Well, yeah.
Right. And she's willing to do this, so I think it's
a good thing. Yeah, I think that's
a big solution. Yeah. So. Well, you being the principal, Dawn, takes care of it. Do the Red Schoolhouse thing there.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You can set up shop there in a couple of years, right? So that's cool. And we need a motion. Everybody kind of agreed to allow that to happen at this Red Schoolhouse.
Really motion for that.
Sounds like a great idea.
Okay, it's a great idea. So, I mean, she came up with two great ideas. This is like at 3:30 this afternoon, so it's kind of cool. Tannery Bridge, like I said, fencing, got calls into the fencing companies. No pricing yet, or people estimate that on the permanent side of the thing. I mean, which we get agrees. I think the best action for us right now is to do it.
On the fencing, the price is so volatile, they're only giving a price that's good for 5 days.
I'm concerned that I don't have a ballpark.
We got a price last week for the bridge. It was 28 change. Today, it was 32,000. That was, it went out of the way. It only one company bid on it.
But it was a long call, and I know, right. Because I made there, because I got prices, I put that when we started back in.
Because we had prices on the place, the whole outfit of fence.
Yeah, and they were all over the place. One was more than I needed to do once I worked all of them.
But the price is still every day going up.
It's crazy.
It's up 50% from where it was last year.
So it's yes.
So I think the solution is have to be if you can get all the one at
just get the temporary one.
A decent temporary, not the plastic stuff, maybe you know something a little substantial, not substantial, but a little more aesthetically pleasing and do the job, and maybe get a couple of signs made up about, you know, this area is closed up by the order of the town board, and maybe a couple of no trespassing ones. What are you guys thinking on that? I mean, we kind of said we were going to put the temporary up, that, you know, this meeting. I did get one. It was like I got one text today about, you know, one motorcycle being in there from a resident.
I went up there. There was a lot of people there today.
Today, that's the good thing. There's nobody. I saw a car at the church, but there's nobody in there.
I mean, I'm definitely for the quality of life of the people that are there, for sure. You know, I mean, that's important to me as well. If I live across the street, I mean, I just don't like at the moment, I'm not convinced on the permanent stuff. But, I mean, temporarily, even if it costs us, you know, a couple $100 to close it down, plus the labor on a seasonal basis, I think that's definitely something I'd do, because, I mean, I wouldn't want that going on in my backyard, if it's out of control.
It was out of control.
So, I think, you know, we probably should try to do that as soon as we can with that.
Before Memorial Day weekend.
Right. We didn't move really, really far with it in case we got pricing in. So, it was no sense to put it up. But I don't think, like Paul was saying with the county.
And they're not going to get to this until September.
Right. So, even if we wanted to close off with the chamber, it's not happening. You know, in a timely fashion.
And did you guys
see
the news, the whole segment on the mountaintop? He interviewed the Hunter Town supervisor, and they showed, you know, going right up the mountain where they were going to be ticketed, people were going to be towed, you know, this isn't going to be allowed, we want safety, Dakota Slope Falls, River
wanted to go temporary, that's how I would price it. $240 is going to be really cost prohibitive. And if I was a neighbor, I would want those.
Yeah, it's
and if it's over six or six and a half, you could have to get a variance.
How bad was it?
Less than a week.
You said today? It was bad?
I didn't drive by that, but going up the mountain. From the bridge, before you go up the mountain, all the way up, there was cars and people walking all over the place.
We're going to walk past them if anybody wants to come.
No, yeah. I would just, if they're there, they're
the 10 o'clock before we're going
to get. Yeah, but I'm taking now the Cannery Bridge, but on the 28-23A area, anybody wants to come out there, DEC, everybody that's involved with this Catskill Center. I mean, I'm not going to walk all the way up and down because I'm really concerned about Catskill and picking out how we're going to do it. We're meeting at Harding Trail tomorrow at 9:30. So if anybody wants this, come out. Or if you have any other suggestions or what. I mean, I think we got our no parking signs considerably down. I mean, if you wanted to see if we can get it to White's Road, we can be able to push it.
Yeah,
I could suggest that.
Both sides of the road down to White's Road.
Right, we're a little short. We're stopping by the cab. So, I mean, we can push that down. I mean,
and do they allow parking for hiking in by the cabins?
The cabins. Last year, a few people parked curbside, but not on that.
There was a lot of people parked on the property last summer.
And on Harding Trail, they were all over the place. You're talking about the private property of the cabins.
The cabins.
Right. I didn't see that myself, but I mean, Harding Trailhead, was brutal. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was 25 cars. I don't have any cars. But there's several cars in there. I don't think you can get the heck out of there for months. So, I mean, I suggested that the telephone or a webinar to fix up a jersey barrier on the right hand side where people park just before you go over the bridge in the town of Catskill. So, we're going to walk that. And I don't think they put that in, did they? There's a jersey barrier.
There's a
driveway
there.
No.
Not on the right side.
No.
Going up the mountain?
On the right hand side, there's not.
It's just up edge.
But if you have any suggestions or if anybody wants to join us at 9:30, come on down. Calum Harding Trail, what
for?
And let's move on a little bit from that. The ambulance contractor, just getting some coal mine and some things like that together as a pre-meeting, which was requested through the bookkeeper at the town of Athens. So it might be easy. Kirsten's going to be the interim. I don't think she wants to be the. And I, you know, I think
she is.
No, and she's not. And that's fine. And I know the interim's quite well. But again, if one councilman wants to join us, I'm going to try to do that next week and just hash that over. And then I can either report back. Same thing with the Leeds Fire Department. I guess that would be today again. Just give me all your financials for maybe 2019, 2020. It's complete. You know, because they were thinking about tonight. So why don't we give us a chance to go over the numbers and then try to have a joint meeting with Athens to hash that out a little bit. We had a van up at the cemetery over the weekend. That was good with the American Legion Post. We did secure the county courthouse steps. We're going to have a ceremony down there, I believe, at 11 on Memorial Day. Parade, this put out a bunch of invitations and really got a poor response, so unfortunately, that's not going to be.
I think we should do it on the Thursday.
Great.
If anybody, I mean, the whole key to this.
By then, then he gives us enough leeway. The masks will all be gone.
Right.
I think the American Legion should do the parade.
Patrick's on the committee, but it's still good to have people that's going to step up and really orchestrate it.
Well, I'm just thinking that there's not a lot of letter day parades. So that would maybe make the plate bands more available, and it would make more fire departments available, might make a lot more people available for a parade.
I mean, and talking to some people, like the Boy Scouts haven't met, the Girl Scouts, the Brownie, all these groups, civic groups that we would want to invite, they just haven't met for a year, so they're not even together yet, so it's hard to ask them to come to a parade if they're not organized. But again, somebody wants to take the lead on doing that would be good. Liz is donating her wreath. Liz, I do thank you a lot on that. That's you. Tommy Andrews made, Joe Izzo made one already down there, but having another one so they use it during the ceremony was nice. And Liz, stepped up and she said she'll make that for us. I was commenting and really nice. And our the guest speaker that Tommy has engaged is going to be Cornell Morris, who grew up in Catskill. And I think he was a lieutenant colonel and things like that. He got an MBA and he does a lot of outreach work in California when he was out in the Los Angeles area. I think he's still contributing in that fashion. So it's really nice to have a local guy there. So that's cool. I think, like the change orders, I think we pretty much covered unless anybody else wants anything we want to discuss or needs further discussion. We want to do an executive session on anything.
Do we need a motion to pay for Matt's training? Or is that just...
That's a lot. Yeah, that's a low amount. So that's fine. And I don't know. So we want to just we're just going to. I mean, in the end, we're still going to have a conversation on this code. And that's pretty down. Because even without it.
Well, we have.
We're still going to have a number.
We have a meeting June 1st.
That's right. So we got to call.
So. Perhaps if someone has a conversation and maybe negotiate the figure a little more to something realistic, since we have to post what he's getting paid and the other part-time guy is going to see what he's getting paid.
Who wants to have that conversation?
Who's going to
call him? Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion.